Hello, and welcome to another Tallman Talks podcast. I'm Mark Tallman with the Kansas Association of School Boards, and today we're talking about a new survey of Kansas teacher attitudes that offers some ideas, some ways that we may be able to help keep more educators in their profession. And certainly one of the things we've heard about for many years at KASB, talking to our members around the state, is the challenge of finding and then keeping high-quality teachers. That really is the top of a lot of concerns. This survey offers both some concerns, but also some suggestions about ways to deal with that. To me, one of the things that's rather striking is, as you'll hear, about 60% of all teachers in the state participated in this year's survey, which is the second has been done. That's a pretty high response rate, and we think it means the results are pretty valid. But one of the big concerns is that more than a quarter of those teachers say they are either more likely than not or very likely to leave the profession or retire in some way, be out of the system within the next 3 years. Now, that's not a guarantee that'll happen, but it's certainly anything like that will add to those concerns we're hearing about. On the other hand, I think as we will learn, what we might call the risk factor, the number of teachers in those categories has improved a little bit over 2 years, but there's still some real concerns about the number of teachers who are considered disengaged from the process. And the expert on this that we're going to talk with first is Dr. Brett Church, who co-directs the Educator Perceptions and Research Center, EPIC, along with industrial organization psychologist Dr. Luke Simmering. He'll tell us a little bit more about that. And we're also going to visit with Dr. Jessica Dane, who's the superintendent of Piper, USD 203 School District, a district which participated in this data 2 years ago and used that to make changes in their district and are getting some good results from that. So I'm going to ask our two guests to briefly introduce themselves, and then we'll dive into learning more about this survey. Why don't we start with you, Dr. Church?
Mark. My name is Brett Church, and I am an associate professor of school leadership at Emporia State University. And as you mentioned, the managing director and co-founder of EPIC, which is kind of the motor that runs the Kansas Teacher Retention Initiative and the Kansas Teacher Retention Survey.
And Dr. Dane.
Good morning. I am Jessica Dane. I am the very proud superintendent of the Piper School District. I'm in my fourth year as the superintendent, and we have actually utilized this survey now twice and are extremely pleased to be here and talk about the success we've had with it.
Thank you very much. And I've got to note, she gave away by saying good morning. We are recording this early on a Monday morning, and I think she gets the award for the most energy to start a Monday. So we appreciate it. I'm sure you have to have that to be a superintendent, as Dr. Church knows as well. So I kind of want to begin to let Dr. Church talk a little more about the survey, what we learned. I do want to keep Dr. Dane on standby if there's anything you want to say along the way, but we're going to dig in a little more later. So maybe just begin, let's talk about how this project came about, what you're trying to accomplish, and any other groups or partners that are involved in this on this project. Dr. Church.
Sure. So in 2021, kind of mid-year 2021, I was looking at some different options at the university to try and identify some research that I might want to do, and had the opportunity to meet Dr. Simmering, who is an organizational psychologist focusing on the psychology of the workplace, but also being leveraging analytics in that area. And we got to talking about teacher retention and the challenges that I was hearing bubble up. And I think that at that time, we started just talking about what kind of data there might be in the state around educator retention. And during that time, we were working on some ideas and started to talk to KASB, as well as United School Administrators of Kansas, the Teachers Association, KNEA, and really just started having conversations about this issue and how it was affecting education in Kansas, that being the teacher shortage. And we started to then talk about a survey that might be able to leverage some of the insights and analytics that are being used by other professions and in other industries for almost a decade and trying to catch education up in that area. So I think that that's where the Kansas Teacher Retention Initiative was born. And one of the things that I think, as I'm talking with folks from other states and in other industries, that they point to is the fact that our state has those three associations working together. And what I mean by that is not only do they provide a little bit of funding to help us do the survey, but they're also putting out joint press releases, helping with communication that helps us get that response rate that you mentioned earlier. And so I think it's a very positive piece that we can have confidence in the work we're doing being given by the key associations in education in Kansas.
As I understood, the current version they're looking at, the survey was conducted, I believe, last fall, and the results were released this spring. You've spent a lot of time sharing those results around the state at different meetings with different groups, and this is the second 2 years ago, a similar version was done, as I understand it. So you might want to just talk now a little bit about what your, so we're doing a survey. What are we asking educators and whoever is being surveyed, kind of break down a little bit what you're trying to find out, and then maybe just some of the top level things that we saw in the most recent, and maybe if there's any significant changes from the original version 2 years ago.
So the research is really based on a research model that looks at three aspects outside of demographics. So we take demographic information to help us look through different lenses at different groups of educators in the state. But the survey itself is really focused in three areas. The first is engagement. And engagement is really our effort to focus on a lead measure that will lead to retention. So engagement, if employees are engaged, we have the greatest chance to keep them. And so we look at engagement through questions that are somewhat or very universal to any industry and engagement surveys. You know, do you have someone at work who cares about you? You know, is your voice and opinion valued? You know, my work gives me a feeling of accomplishment, those types of questions. And then we really, beyond the engagement, we look more deeply at the experience of educators. And so what we're looking at is 34 questions that are much more aligned to the work of educators. They're not as universal as the engagement questions. So questions about plan time, questions about student technology. Questions about support from the principal on student discipline, the vision and leadership of the Board of Education, society's view of the teaching profession, just a variety of areas that we look at that are more specific to the education profession. And then lastly, we're trying to identify in terms of intentions, what are we learning or what are teachers telling us about what they plan to do in the future? The areas we look at there are their likelihood of leaving the profession at some point, the likelihood of them retiring in the next 3 years. And as mentioned, those teachers that are more likely than not, or very likely and will probably happen, those answers combined, when we look at that in both those areas, that comes to be our risk factor because that tells us the teachers who are suggesting that they will be leaving the workforce in one way or another. Of education. And then the last two questions are just about changing districts or moving into administration. And so that's kind of the makeup of the model and the survey and the areas that we look at.
So I indicated the kind of a top level two things that really struck out that summarizes those to a degree is there is a substantial portion of our teaching population that is indicated at least some fairly high possibility of leaving in the not too distant future, which means many will have to be replaced. Although again, the comparison 2 years ago, that has actually come down a little, but a high number, or I guess what struck me is perhaps a little bit high, were teachers that basically did not seem to be maybe as engaged as we would want. So maybe you could talk a little bit more about that idea of engagement and maybe specifically how that relates to things like, well, student achievement, the fundamental work of school districts. So kind of talk a little bit about that alignment, I guess, between maybe teacher attitudes and schools being able to accomplish their fundamental mission.
So the engagement questions align to kind of four categories or four questions. Am I connected? Am I growing? Am I heard? And am I motivated? And universally, those characteristics represent in any job an engaged employee. And we know that engagement is what we want to focus on if we're trying to keep people in any profession. But also engagement of educators through research done by Gallup, we know we also see engagement with educators producing a more positive classroom learning environment, improved student learning outcomes on summative assessments in the district, and then also just a more positive workplace culture. And so it is tied to some of the work, obviously, that schools and their foundation or, at their base level should be focused on. And so that is kind of how we look at that engagement. And what we saw was 54% of educators being engaged and 46% disengaged in 2021, and that number flipped in 2023. So 46% engaged, 54% disengaged. And I think that has to do, or when we see that, we also have to keep in mind that even though it's a different measure and model, Gallup finds across the state or across the country that engagement across all professions is in the mid to low 30s. Percents. And so even though we lost that 8%, it is also important to keep in mind, the fact that there's not necessarily 80% engagement in other professions.
Yeah, something I thought was interesting about this, or I try to keep in my own mind, because obviously we focused on our organizations or our, I don't know what you call it, our sector, our business, our industry, whatever you want to call it. And so we're all, well, gee, we can't find enough teachers. We can't find enough staff. People are unhappy. We struggle. These are not unique to education. And I think that's something that, and I've watched you present on this and some of the data you shared. We probably have to remember in talking to other, outside groups to keep in mind that really everyone's dealing with these issues. But that also suggests, I guess, that whether you're a district competing with other districts or whether you're the school system competing with other possible employers, you have some control over these things. So what I'd like to maybe talk about now for a few minutes is, maybe talk a little bit, Dr. Church, about how this can be provided at the district level, and maybe a little bit just about, I guess, are there variations among districts? And then we'll turn to Dr. Dane to talk about kind of one experience and then kind of come back and address some other things. So as we move kind of to what this might mean at the district level, talk about just how districts can access more information.
Sure. So, what we know about those 34 items that we ask teachers about is that some of them are more important to educators than others. And so we identify through statistical analysis what are drivers of engagement and what are predictive of those or drivers of retention, both being predictive of engagement and predictive of staying in the profession. And those drivers are very different based on each district. So while we have drivers at the state level, that's positive because it gives us some high level and reflects everyone. But on the other hand, we know each community, each district across the state of Kansas, there's not two that are alike. So we're able to go to the district level and then provide them with those drivers that they can know that their teachers are saying, this is what's important to our experience, and this is what's affecting our engagement and retention here in our district. And so what we've tried to do is provide districts with additional data to be able to look at what those drivers are, how they compare to similar districts that they would to themselves in the state, and to provide them with kind of a roadmap to how to address engagement and retention in their own district.
So, as school leaders are listening to this, we're going to turn to Dr. Dane in a minute. But why is this timely? Well, because now I imagine that districts are beginning to start to think about their budget process. They're going to be beginning negotiations. They're going to be thinking about, their personnel situation and what they're going to have to do. And those are the kind of things that I know were part of kind of one district's response to this. So let's go back now to Dr. Dane and have her talk a little bit about how her district kind of got involved and used this data and some of the changes that were made and the results that we've seen from this information.
Absolutely. Well, this tool has been a game changer for us in a variety of ways. I will share that when the survey first came out, the first time we were in the middle of COVID. And so I did feel like the culture was struggling a little bit, and the timing was perfect for teachers to feel like not only at the district level, but honestly at the state level, that somebody was really wanting to dig in and hear their voice. And so it was a great tool for us to use then, but we've continued to use it and are now on our second round, and it continues to be really powerful for us. So one of the things that came up, I appreciated the state survey that Dr. Church created. It was a nice tool for me as a superintendent to, see where we were and compared to others at the state and get a feel for the state level. But what really was helpful was investing in the tool for us as a district. And so as we dug into this, there were some drivers that really came up. Some of them were not a surprise to me, but some of them really were a surprise. And they guided decisions that we made, not only as an administrative team, but with our Board of Education. So one of the first things that came up was the fact that teachers were really struggling to get substitute teachers. And at the time we did the old-fashioned, we had somebody at the district office, they called really early in the morning. We tried to get it filled, and then at the building level, teachers and principals would work to fill it. It changed our thinking, and we realized that a lot of districts were having more success with fill rates when they outsourced the guest teachers in the classroom. And so that was one of the things that we've utilized in the past 2.5 years since digging into this survey. And I will share that we've gone up to over a 90% fill rate with our subs, which is better. But what's more exciting is on the survey, I believe that we increased about 48% in teacher satisfaction. So that was a huge gain for us to look at. And again, this tool was something that was a game changer for us. The second thing that came up was our teachers were very frustrated and felt like they were struggling with understanding how to give better mental health supports to their students directly. Students that needed mental health supports from a licensed practitioner, and then somebody that could be there for them. And so one of the things that we did was, after we got the survey, we invested in a full-time mental health professional. And so that has been a really nice tool for our students and our teachers and our families. Another thing that was really frustrating for our teachers was they felt like their class size was too big. And I think that's something that we hear from teachers a lot, but it really came out loud and clear in these survey results. And so we invested money in hiring 4 additional teachers to help reduce class size. And then lastly, behaviors continued to be a real struggle for us at the secondary level. And so we invested money in hiring an additional assistant principal at both the middle school and the high school. Another way that we use this beyond just teachers and in staffing was we took it to negotiations, and that brought new light to some of the things that as we came to the table. We have always assumed that salary was something that our teachers really wanted as part of the negotiations package. But what this survey shed light on for us was the fact that healthcare was even more important to them and their benefits than their salary. And so again, we shared this results at negotiations with both the Teachers Association and our Board of Education, and it drove our package looking a little different. Lastly, just as we continue to look at the shortage in the teaching profession, we try to be much more innovative in looking at incentives for our teachers, just low-hanging fruit, places that we can make a difference. And so one of the things that we did last school year and was a major success for us was we gave all of our teachers that live in the district a $100 package, if you will, or a $100 enrollment credit for each one of their students. So if a teacher has two students, then they got $200 credit for enrollment fees. So it's small, but yet our teachers really appreciated it. And the one question that I do get from people when they hear about this is, it sounds like you've invested a considerable amount of money in benefits, in hiring administrators and teachers and outsourcing. But my point in them is, how can you not invest this kind of money? We want to be the kind of culture and organization where teachers want to work. But more importantly, with this shortage, it's more expensive for us if we don't invest in our teachers. So this has been a great tool for us. And we really appreciate Dr. Church's work in getting us this really detailed information.
Yeah, when I was work learning more about this, because I did a blog on this, which you can access at our KASB website, and it links to the details that Dr. Dane was just talking about. But it did strike me that while some of these issues did have a cost, some of them were not particularly expensive and may not have been the things that you would just instinctively say would be high priority for teachers. So, while, I think it's as everyone says, well, everyone would like to make more money. But sometimes, I think everyone also realized there only is so much money. And maybe part of the issue here is this is a process which allows your teachers to both, feel like you are trying to find out what they want and then, responding, and it may be in differing ways, but when you're able to simply say, we wanted to know what you felt, we tried to do some things and respond to that, I would assume that that's the kind of thing that gets back to the thing Dr. Church was talking about on, that am I heard, am I valued, and some of those things we think are important. So I'm going to ask Dr. Church to kind of come back in and maybe talk a little bit about maybe what he sees or advice he would give for other districts. I will say, as someone I've spent a lot of this year visiting a number of districts that by many measures are sort of outperforming on things like state assessments, graduation rates. And one of the things that I overwhelmingly hear in those districts is a sense that the staff feels valued, the staff is stable. People say, no one leaves unless they retired, and it's not necessarily because the pay is better, but they feel it is a better working environment. And that so that certainly seems, I can't specifically quantify that, but it would, I guess, reflect that same idea that an engaged and satisfied staff, that all those things do have a positive impact on the culture of your building and the results that you get. So, Dr. Church, some thoughts on that.
Mark, I think you're right on point in the sense that so much of this is helping your educators understand what it is you heard from them. And it doesn't, whatever you're using, the idea of providing them with, when you ask them to give you their thoughts, making sure they know this is what we heard. This is what our plan is to do some things about it. And I think that that's where Dr. Dane and the districts that are getting that specific information, they have the confidence that what they're hearing from their staff and knowing that those are drivers, they're statistically significant drivers, they can feel more confident in putting those investments into those areas versus just kind of going on what they hear in a survey and identifying the ones that are lowest satisfaction. Sometimes some of the lowest satisfaction items, for instance, tuition reimbursement is pretty consistently low satisfaction. But I've yet to see a district where it is a driver of educator engagement or retention. So while the satisfaction is low, it's really not moving the needle. And so figuring out what those high satisfaction, low satisfaction items are really important. And I think that what we see in the work and what I try to encourage districts to do is I think it's a combination of a couple things. One, it's the idea of intent versus impact, right? All districts are trying, they don't want to lose their teachers, they're doing something. Their intent is to keep their educators. But the impact sometimes is by districts not being clear about what they're doing or sharing that with the teaching staff, the impact can be that educators feel like they're kind of, screaming into a canyon, if you will, right? They're out there in their experience and they don't know what the district is doing. They don't know what they're trying to do. And so that opportunity to share this with your educators so that they're aware of the efforts that are being made makes a huge difference. And I think the other piece is we're still adjusting to shifting our focus. If we think about those buckets of recruitment and retention, there are fewer folks getting into education. But I think we're still making that transition to focusing on that retention bucket with some of our resources more than we are that recruitment bucket that traditionally was the way we found new folks to come to our district. And so one of the things that I always want to stress to school districts is one thing you know about every teacher that's in your district is that they've already chose to work in your district, right? You're not trying to convince them to come to your district and take a job through a recruitment process. They're already there. So what can you do to keep those folks there? Because they've already made the choice that your district is a place they want to work.
Yeah. So when we went, as I remember kind of seeing you make this presentation, reviewing the data, it struck me a few things stood out that I want to mention. And then I got a couple of other things I want to discuss. One is that there are probably some responses that there isn't a lot the district can do about. I think the lowest level of satisfaction, correct me if I'm wrong, is sort of the public perception of public education or the teaching profession. I mean, it has to do with this idea that, education and schools aren't respected the way they were. I thought it was interesting that I think Piper actually did have some ideas about, just kind of what we can do as a district to kind of help promote positive ideas that, but some of that may be beyond what you can easily do. Another set of things are just those policy things like the, again, that I thought that substitute idea that we talked about. What surprised me a little bit, and I'll ask either of you if you want to comment on this, was as I looked at your kind of list on a statewide sense of the key drivers, one thing that really seems to make a difference is the teacher perception of their principal or of their building leadership. So that's not something a board can just change a policy on, but it has to do with, it really has to do with how important administrative leadership is to the satisfaction of teachers. Either of you want to make any comments about that? Jessica.
Yeah, I would love to. So that's one of the intangible things that this survey has helped me see is how important the role of our principals are to our teachers. We started digging into information and through some research and working with Dr. Corey Shear, learned that, saw data that said that 50% of employees don't trust their leader. And so when we share that with our principals, we talk about right away, you have the playbook. You know right away that you're behind the eight ball 50% with your staff maybe not trusting you. And so one of the things that was pretty shocking to our principals. So one of the things that our organization has done and one of the things that I have done, again, absolutely no cost, but this survey made me realize that I needed to be having more contact with my administrators. So right now I have a monthly meeting with them where we all get together, we do some professional development, we talk about department updates, and that was it. Two things that I did again from the survey as you talk about the role of the principal is I added on a set of time where my elementary principals could be together and talk kind of like their own PLC. just the elementary group for issues that they could take back to their building and I could guide them. Same thing with the secondary principals, just making everybody slow down just a little bit and realizing they had experts and colleagues within the district that could help them do their job better. But the other thing that I have done is now created what I call a weekly huddle. And so I spend 20 minutes a week with each one of my principals one-on-one. We just do it via Zoom. We have a huddle, we do it before the day starts. And it has been tremendous in me just having a better pulse of what's going on in the building, but more importantly, to see the confidence of my principals and to realize they sometimes just need a person to do a little one-on-one coaching with them. And so we talk about the things that this survey does without money, and that was tremendously one of them. And so we're getting really nice satisfaction from our teachers in the leadership of their principals because this survey slowed us down and made us think about it.
Dr. Church, anything on that?
I think that one of the things that I know Dr. Dane has done in Piper as well, and it kind of ties to that piece of not everything, costs money, is looking at just thinking about, okay, we're already doing professional development, right? We have professional development built into our calendar. We have dollars going to that professional development. How can we, based on what we're hearing from our teachers, how can we align that professional development to the areas that our teachers are telling us are really, really important to their ability to do their job? And that's really not a cost. It's just a matter of realigning and prioritizing the things that educators are saying they need. And that's an area that gives that opportunity to take something that doesn't necessarily cost money and just rearrange or take a different approach to how you're looking at it. Because again, it gives you that confidence that you're hitting the target with what educators are telling you they need.
Dr. Church, thank you for saying that. That's an awesome one, and it has been so powerful. And our ratings, we now, because of this, give a quarterly staff satisfaction survey to our staff, but that has been something that has dramatically changed is, again, when we heard teachers talking about student behaviors, mental health issues, trauma-informed care, it has become those things that are at the top of PD that the teachers get to choose from. We bring them a menu of things. But again, thanks for bringing that up because it has been instrumental in the infrastructure of professional development. The other thing that we've done is just that teachers feel frustrated just kind of about the lack of, I don't know if I want to say respect, but maybe the lack of love that the teaching profession gets in general. And so another thing that we did that was absolutely free is that I started sending out a weekly nomination form for parents and teachers to nominate their colleagues or other teachers. We call it Game Changers. We highlight it once a week in a message that I send out to staff. And I mean, you talk about the confidence level of teachers and parents thanking teachers. It's very powerful. And sometimes, again, it's just slowing everybody down and realizing that we can do a little bit better, that we need to think a little bit more innovative. We need to connect the dots, if you will. So, two great examples of how we've used this survey in ways that cost us absolutely nothing, but I think have helped us be much more successful in our work and much more meaningful and relevant to our teachers.
Okay, I don't want to end on a down note, but maybe just a bit of caution. I do think one of the things that was also an interesting summary or an interesting finding was kind of the teachers maybe most at risk of leaving. And so maybe as we kind of wrap this up, Dr. Church, you could talk a little bit about, because I think, you with your demographic data, you're able to kind of then find out, maybe who are the teachers. Or, and of course, this would be statewide, that where there seems to be maybe a lower level of satisfaction that maybe educators should be aware of, this is maybe a characteristic or people within your group that deserve some additional attention.
Right. I think, Mark, that one of the things that really stood out in the most recent state level data is that we see educators, as we look at their teaching experience, so how long they've been in the profession, we see educators, that have 4 to 11 years of experience as being significantly less engaged than other tenure groups and at significantly higher risk of leaving the profession altogether. And while it doesn't directly overlap with millennials, most folks that are 4 to 11 years in the profession are millennials. And that 4 to 11 years of teaching experience is 31% of the workforce. And so when we think about what is kind of that flashing light of concern, it's the fact that our largest segment of educators currently in the workforce are also significantly less engaged and more likely to leave the profession. And I think that what that tells us, and being able to look at information by generation, what it tells us is that as a profession, we have to better understand what are the things that we are doing or what we're not doing as far as meeting those needs, because that's just a huge group of educators that we have to make sure we can do our best to keep. And so I think what that leads to is hopefully that in the work that we're doing is not just a snapshot of what is happening, but the beginning of conversations about what about our profession make it difficult for us to keep those in the workforce that are in this specific demographic. What is it about education? What is it about, things that are happening in other industries? And also beyond just trying to get an assessment of current experience through a survey, are there opportunities in the future to utilize a survey like this where we have such high participation to get a sense about ideas about what might better serve the educators that we have out in the state? And so I think that's kind of a longer term plan is how can we start using this not only to take an assessment in that specific moment about satisfaction and engagement, but also get some feedback from educators about different ideas that might be attractive to them about the profession as a whole.
So I can either be a true baby boomer and just sort of mock and make fun of about how awful young people are these days, or we can kind of try to do something about it because we're stuck with them one way or the other. Would that be probably the oldest one in this group? I guess that'd be my observation there. However frustrating it may sometimes be, what are we going to do about it? And realizing that, a generation ago, people thought that way about us too. So, well, I really appreciate this conversation. Dr. Church, why don't you just quickly share if someone has stumbled across this survey for the first time hearing this, where can they get more information about it?
Sure. So you can find the survey just by searching the Kansas Teacher Retention Survey. You'll find a website for the Kansas Teacher Retention Initiative. You can also, if you have any questions or would like more information, you can email me at bchurch@emporia.edu, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much. And of course, thank you to our listeners. We hope you found this information, and we will be back again very soon with another Tallman Talks podcast.